stumbled from the bed and opened the curtains. Big buildings, lots of shouting, obnoxious car horns. New York. There's only one person who would dare ring me this early.
Mom?
Good news, she said. Your sister had the baby. It's a girl. I tried to act surprised. But the truth is, I was well prepared for the new arrival. In part because of my sister's posts on Facebook. Earlier in the week, I'd seen her status updates. Looks like the baby will be here on Thursday. I'm still hoping for sooner, though. Smiley face. For the past 2 weeks, I've been crisscrossing America, producing a radio documentary on the history of social networking. The story goes back further than you might think. My trip began in Berkeley, in California, where a group set up a computerized bulletin board in a record store in 1973. Over a couple of weeks, I met a host of interesting characters. Hippies with houseboats, ambitious Harvard students, people barely out of their teens, running startup companies backed by billionaires. And along the way, I've been test driving some of the very technology I was learning about, using social networking sites to arrange interviews, check the news, and keep in touch with people scattered all over the world. On the West Coast, I dropped in on the company that has become synonymous with social networking. It may have once looked like a passing fad, but nowadays people take Facebook very seriously. It's easy to see why. 500 million users, a blockbuster film, a superstar CEO. It's a business worth 30 billion pounds. In Mountain View, the heart of Silicon Valley, the company with that instantly recognizable blue and white logo is currently housed in an old factory. Picture hard surfaces, exposed brick, graffiti art on the wall. Exactly what you'd expect in the headquarters of a trendy internet company. Provocative posters adorn the wall. Move fast and break things. What would you do if you weren't afraid? Nobody looks much over the age of 30. Fueled by free fruit, strong coffee, and late-night ping pong, Facebook's employees think they're in the vanguard of a revolution, pushing forward an idea that will change the world. Standing in the middle of their headquarters, it's hard to think they're wrong. They don't talk about where they are now, all their recent success, and the bundles of cash they're making, more than 1 billion pounds last year. Instead, they talk relentlessly about what's next. Chris Cox is vice president of product, which is a California way of saying he's in charge of making loads of cool new stuff for your Facebook page. Cox paints a picture where all sorts of everyday decisions are influenced by our friends. Say I want to go out and eat in New York, he says. Instead of reading reviews from strangers, I go and read what my friends in New York recommend the most. That's really how we think things are going to evolve. But we're not there yet at all. Afterwards, I'm in the lobby, checking my email, getting ready to pack up and leave. Until Time Magazine's Person of the Year walks in. I wasn't expecting to see him, but there he is. Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg is wearing his trademark hoodie, blue jeans, and the hint of a self-satisfied grin. It's a journalist's dream. I'm right beside the richest 20-something on the planet, but I fumble with my microphone and camera. Zuckerberg is through the door in a flash. Later, back in New York, the sun is up and it's time to find a restaurant for breakfast. Those Facebook guys are right. Social networking isn't going to help us here. Instead, just ask a local. Right around the corner, the Morningstar Cafe. Tasty pancakes, hot coffee. I sort out one final interview with an entrepreneur who wants to build the next big social network. Business taken care of, I use my phone to once again glance at my Facebook page. Status update from my sister. Baby is here. Haley Eugenia was born at 2:03 a.m. She is perfectly healthy. The comments are pouring in. Congratulations to all. Muchísimas felicidades. I'm so excited for you. You and six other people like this. The east coast of America settles in under a blanket of snow. For me, one last flight, heading inland to upstate New York to see my new niece. Just born, but already making an appearance on the computer screens of friends and family around the world. Because all this online communication is great, but it's still no substitute for actually being there.
Mike Wendling among some smiley faces in upstate New York. Way back in 1960, a small nation emerged.